Carey has already left Bill Goggins a voicemail, so we're that much closer to Tausch the Sailor.
Oh, you know what? So yesterday we were in Mequon for a baseball tournament, and again, tournament directors, kudos.
Thank you for your service. Yep.
We had to stay a lot longer. It was a long day. They shortened the games to 1:15, but we were able to get two games in. But guess where I took a couple of the kids and a couple of the families for breakfast yesterday? In Tosa.
Ted's.
Ted's in Tosa.
Nah.
Was Homer there?
He was not.
Oh.
I put some money down that Homer will be paying me if Jordan Love signs before the end of this off season, which I guess we could say middle.
Yeah, until Monday.
I think I said August 15th. I said, and they said they take all Homer's bets, so we're good. So hopefully, I get paid on that from Homer.
So
great little milk. What a spot, though! Like old school milkshake diner. Great spot. Love it.
Nice.
And it wasn't slam jammed. We got in there. There's no wait. It's beautiful.
Wow.
Kids loved it.
And you didn't show up at 8:52 as they were closing.
No.
Well, that's what you did at the Hibachi.
It's like
the Hibachi,
it's like 10 a.m. It's a breakfast spot, right? Okay. Why would it be closed at 8:52?
No, that reminds us. Yeah. A reference to the last restaurant conversation we had on our program.
This was 10 a.m.
I understand that.
Oh.
So wait, you placed a bet with the guys at Ted's?
I'm just joking. I didn't place a bet there. That's what Homer always says to his listeners is, hey, I'll do this, go to Ted's in Tosa. And that's why we went to Ted's in Tosa for Homer.
For wagering.
It was great.
So you have not had this conversation with Homer about...
None.
By,
no,
so you just made that up?
I did. Well, yeah, because we're going Jordan Love conversation with the contract. Quick question on baseball, though. So we were guaranteed three games in this tournament. We obviously only got two because of the rain. We ended up in the top four. And my other coaches, I think they're just like, it's not going to happen. We're not going to play. Probably going to be right. Our season ends Sunday. Our year is done on Sunday.
Okay.
I want to play because we finished in the top four. We get, you know, you play the 1-4. We were the 2, so we'd be the 2-3. And I have a plan to play it up in Sun Prairie because they told us, the tournament director told us, if you organize it and get umps, we'll pay for it. Bah. I want to do it. I think our coaches are the other coaches with me are very skeptical. I want to do it. Jesse will be doing the umpiring on Thursday.
You've already hired him?
Yes. I already talked to one of our tournament people at the Sun Prairie. So now we have to go through and get these other coaches to come on board. But we have two fields so we can play simultaneously. Winners play winners on the big boy field. Losers play losers. And everybody gets two games. Everybody will be happy. And I'm not going to lie to you, our head coach, very skeptical, and I don't think is really thinking we're going to pull this off. Do I push or do I just say to hell with it? Jesse, make it some good cash.
Do the kids want to play?
Oh, the kids 100% want to play.
Then I think you push forward with
it. Well, dude, I don't know if I'm going to get the coaches because there's a lot of Lake Country teams. I think there's a Pewaukee group in there.
That's not that far.
That's what I said. And I know everybody wants to. Nobody wants to just sit there with four teams. Somebody wants to win.
Well, so, wait. You talked to the tournament director and...
Well, it was tournament director adjacent. Because the fields were wet, the tournament director is a little overwhelmed. It was one of the people that was coaching that helped, and they said, hey, we're not going to be able to get all the games in because obviously the rain, but we totally understand, blah, blah, blah. He said, but if you finish in the top four, we'll pay for fields, we'll pay for umps. You guys organize it with the other teams. And now the odds of getting all those teams to come up here on a Thursday because the fields are already looked to see, minimal, but that's what I want to do. Am I crazy to push?
So wait, all the other teams are from the Lake Country area, and you're going
to
bring them
up to standings. We would host at our school. Yeah.
Look, I'm on board with letting kids play. If the kids want to play, okay. I would do everything I can to make it happen.
That's what we're going to do then.
I don't know. You
and I want to see Jesse Ump too.
Believe me, I'm aware of the quality content that
and
could come
from that.
And I talked
to our A-League pickleball players; they are more than happy to play with Jesse. And Jesse's going to be wearing a hat, is what they told me, which means he doesn't score a point. That's what they said.
We shifted into Jesse playing pickleball.
Well, Jesse's
now.
Doing both umping and pickleball.
Tough to keep track of around here. I'd like to go on the record. I'm in for umpiring.
Okay. We will. I'm gonna scramble. I doubt. I'm gonna be optimistic. So I'll keep you guys updated.
You did not talk to the other coaches.
I don't even. I have to look to see what, because we left. There were still games to be played. Who are they going to be the top four? Played last night.
We sounds a little bit like the sailing plan, quite frankly. Like it hasn't been fully
fleshed
out. That's
what Coach Kavanaugh said. Oh, that's not going to happen. All gruff.
Well, it just sounds like
optimism, Cav.
No, it sounds like you've got some legwork to do.
I do, and I'm willing to put in the work.
Legwork is not necessarily your.
And what is that supposed to mean?
Nothing.
What?
That when it comes to putting in the legwork for travel plans or
to
other
get
things
headlines
in your life,
done, or to get all this other stuff that doesn't happen, like, come on, don't do that. You're not going to win that battle.
It feels
you ain't
like
winning
Sarah,
that battle, Jason. You're not.
Jason.
Jesse can say that. You probably shouldn't. In fairness,
Okay. It feels like Sarah does a lot of things. So you coordinating.
Sarah's Tausch adjacent. Yeah. So it all works itself out. I'm not saying it's just me. It's Team Tausch.
Okay, I appreciate you clarifying that. It takes a team to get a deal done with your quarterback as well. My question for you is, what if Jordan Love's representation is adamant about a number that Goody and Russ Ball are like, that's too much?
That's the $58 million question. But I think really the question, will Jordan Love and his team not report or play hardball? That's the question in this. Because I think the Packers want to get it done at a reasonable rate. I think Jordan Love wants to get it done. But how far are they going to push? And how willing are you? And I think in any of these deals, are you willing to walk and not do something? And if you're not, you're never going to probably get to market value.
Like Devontae.
And it is really easy to say from these seats, well, this is what you should do. And, oh, you shouldn't play. All right, Jason, hey, you're not getting what you want. Don't work. Okay, great. Well, then they'll say, we're going to replace you and we'll have somebody else. And then what are you going to be doing there? You're going to be sitting there saying, oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't get a sailing boat because I don't have a job. That's what happens. And it's about leverage. Jordan Love has leverage.
He's got more than I would have.
He does. And the Packers realize that, but will Jordan Love not practice? No, he's going to be there. He's going to go out and play. The Packers know that. And I think it's not going to be an issue because both sides need each other. But that's in these scenarios, that's always the question. How far? And to players' credit, players have gotten a lot better about pushing and saying, well, I'm not doing this. It's on you. Business, business, business. It's always been. The team would say it's business. Mm-hmm. Players are now saying, Zeke Elliott, I'm going to head to Cabo until you take care of me. Business.
Mm-hmm.
TJ Watt, I'm not practicing until our contract gets done. Business.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Love going to say, I ain't practicing until our contract gets done. Business? I highly doubt
it. He should.
Well, should he? That's the question. Because a lot of people will say, well, you've only played one season. Get out there and prove it again, and then Tannenbaum it. Well, you know, it's real easy to tell to Tannenbaum things when you're sitting on a porch. I just saw he's sitting on a sunscreen. He looks in Florida. He's enjoying himself. Yeah, it's real easy to say that. It's another thing to say it when you're sitting there and your whole team is there, and I'm not coming because business. That takes a lot of gallbladder stones to do that.
Nice way to pull it all back. So I actually made Jesse's SportsCenter, which tells you how light he must have been on audio for his SportsCenter at the top of the hour, because we talked on Sunday Karma from the domination event that he and John Arias were at yesterday. And my question is, would the Packers just cave? Like, if you look at the way these contracts have played out, right? Jared Goff got $170 million guaranteed. Trevor Lawrence only got $142 million guaranteed. So I don't, like I've been saying for a while, I don't care that his contract averages the same amount as Joe Burrow. He got roughly $100 million less guaranteed than Joe Burrow, or at least like $75 million less.
Structure. That's right. I think the Packers would be fine with that structure, not the Burrow structure.
Right, and that's my question is, to me, as I've said many times before I got fatigue, I want the maximum amount of guaranteed money. I don't care if I'm averaging 52 or 53 or 58 or 79 million a year.
No.
I want more guaranteed money than all these other jokers are getting.
That's not going to happen.
And that's my point.
It
so if that's what they want, and the Packers are like, look, we love you. We think you're going to be the next great quarterback in our lineage, but we still have to protect ourselves in case you're Daniel Jones.
A team, and this is that we want to build a team around you. You get great success, Patrick Mahomes. Jason, would Jordan Love, if nothing gets done, do you envision him not practicing Monday?
No,
it's not going to happen.
My experience with him, much like with Devontae, is that he won't do that.
Correct. And I agree with you. I just think it's really difficult if you're not a super established cat to do that.
It's difficult if you are established. Devontae didn't do it.
But I bet Devontae would do it now.
Once in retrospect?
I'm saying now, when he has no guaranteed money left on his deal, I would be shocked if you don't see Devontae do a power play, especially with a team that stinks.
Yep.
He'll power play the heck out of them.
Yep.
And him and Aaron Rodgers will be playing somewhere else together.
So we don't think Jordan Love would do this.
I do not.
On the flip side, do you think that the Packers would just cave and give him what he wants to get this done?
I think the Packers will give. They're not caving. They're not going to say, we're going to give you Joe Burrow's contract, all those guarantees and everything else. No, they won't.
Right.
What they will do, I think, is give you that APY win, and then I think they'll try to structure it more Trevor Lawrence-y so that if things don't go the way they hope, they're not saddled for years and years and years.
Because that's their responsibility.
Well, that's their responsibility. That's the smart thing to do. That's what they should want to do, and that's what Jordan Love's team is fighting against. And I'm sure that's one of the big holdups, if there are, about what this is going to look like. So, again, it, as I've said all offseason, it makes too much sense to not get done. That doesn't mean it will, but I will be shocked if at some point this week we're not talking about the Jordan Love extension, what that means moving forward. Or it'll be next Monday up at Dream Drive. We'll be talking about that and how glorious it's been and how excited Packer fans should be that they have Jordan Love signed for 5 years.
I would just say this to put a bow on it. I don't think this, and I'm not calling it a doomsday scenario, I think this is highly unlikely that there is some sort of hiccup that prevents him from having it before the kickoff training camp. I don't have any insider knowledge of what the conversations have been like between Russ Ball and David Mulugeta and Andrew Kessler, but I just don't get the feeling that when you're scheduled to be paid $11 million and while apparently some NFL executives disagree with our assessment of him based on what Jeremy Fowler wrote, I don't think you can pass up whatever it's going to be. Let's just say it's Jared Goff's contract, $170 million guaranteed, $53 million average. I think it's really hard to pass that up when you're looking at $170 million guaranteed versus an $11 million salary for this season. That just, as a player, that seems really difficult to say, no, I'm going to push for more. And if that means I have to play out this contract, if that means I have to go to training camp and participate on this contract, that just strikes me as something that's really hard to do.
Yeah, that's what makes these contract negotiations sticky. Do you think there's any contention going on right now? The people that you talk to up there?
Everyone was on vacation for 2 weeks, which was why I was confident that nothing would get done before now. And that's also why I think things would heat up this week. But I have not gotten the sense that it's become contentious. But it's interesting, you know, this is all about bias, too, right? Because when Jordan talked at the end of the minicamp and was not answering questions about his contract, You talked to five different people that were there, and they took it five different ways. And one of my colleagues thought he seemed irritated, as if the progress had not been fast enough.
Yeah, but that's because you guys want that to be.
No, it wasn't me.
I understand.
And I definitely don't want that with my fatigue. I don't know. And I hate it when people try to talk as if they know something that they don't. I did exchange some messages with the quarterback during the off season, but I never asked him, hey, have contract talks become contentious? I didn't want to do that. So I don't have a good answer for you.
Okay, good deal.
I would be surprised if they had, however. All I know is that whatever happens, Jordan Love would be smart to ensure carefully as he dreams fearlessly as AmFam, which he is a spokesman for.
Indeed he is.
Tells us.
He is. A really smart decision by both parties, because AmFam, great Wisconsin company. And you know what? I just had a great tailgate down at the Brewers game on Saturday. Nobody tailgates like Brewers fans. But what if I told you that American Family Insurance can help take your tailgating to the next level? Enter the Superfan Tailgate Sweepstakes for an all-expenses-paid day at American Family Field and your own personal chef for you and five friends. Get field-level tickets, gift cards to some of your favorite spots at the stadium, and more. Go to amfam.com/brewer to enter today. No purchase is necessary. Dream fearlessly. Insure carefully.
We will get to some more Packers conversation coming up. If you have more insights into sailing, we will take those as well. We are not taking
more
names of Tausch's boat.
We haven't had any yet.
Not one? People don't buy it. I respect that.
You think they're skeptical of your how desirous you actually are?
It seems like that might
of
be.
Of becoming a sailor.
Yes.
One person did point out anyone who is an expert on sailing very likely could actually be out sailing right now.
Are there no radios or phones on sailboats?
Well, you can't exactly take a break from sailing to just text Willie and Tausch.
You sit back with the sails up in the air, and you just sit back and Dufresne it, man. Yeah, chill.
Dufresne it. More with Andy Dufresne. It's Willie and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Right. History has proven
that
always happens.
And I'm not amazed anymore, but I appreciate
the heck out
of it.
Right. And so
honestly, one of my favorite things is I literally could come up with, I'm not sure about this grease fitting. And a matter of fact, I have some appliance stuff that I want to talk about tomorrow on the show that I'm intrigued by. So continue.
Captain Crowdsourcing, yes. So, and I was a little bit irritated.
About what?
That we were getting nothing at all on sailing.
This is, like, if I was to say, like, I don't think, well, yeah, maybe your arrogance was proven correct.
That's one thing I love our audience, because there are so many experts in so many fields. And then there's Scuba Chad, who will call in and pose as an expert on just about any field. So before I throw to this call, I would like to confirm, Jesse, this is legit, right? This is not some sort of interloper.
How do you think Jesse is going to be able to say 1,000%?
What,
yes?
If you were me, Jason, what question would you ask John, who claims to be a sailboat guy?
There would have been a strict vetting process, yes.
Yeah, give me one question that you know the answer to that you would have asked John.
Well, I wouldn't know the answer to it. The question is, how authoritatively would he speak on the subject?
Well, I mean,
because
Scuba Chad had me convinced.
He
really had me.
Is it a chance this is Scuba Chat?
No.
You're sure?
That was my biggest concern, frankly.
Guy sounds polished.
See? All right.
Too polished?
He's a con man. Or is he a sailboat man? We'll find out together. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to John the Sailboat Guy, as Jesse has termed him. John, good morning.
Yep.
How you doing?
Good morning. Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Well, we'd like to know your bona fides first on what makes you a sailboat guy.
All right, sailboat guy. Well, I've logged a few hours of sailing, shall we say. I will not call myself an expert, but I am knowledgeable. How's that?
Okay, so you're humble is okay. what you're saying. You're not arrogant about your sailboat knowledge. All right. So fair, Tausch fair wants enough, to get into enough. Sailing. Get him started.
Yeah, how do I start?
Yeah. Oh, my God, I love this. Well, so that boat that you're, you know, imagining, whatever, a 40-footer that you can sleep on for three nights, don't start there.
Ooh. Okay. Okay.
Sounds like a good piece of advice.
Work up a little bit. So take some lessons, you know, little teeny boat. You get your feet under you. You understand how the wind pushes you. You understand how to get out of some trouble. You'll go swimming a couple times. It's great fun. Mm. Go up.
John, what is
lost them already.
I'm nervous, John.
What is a teeny boat? Because Tausch is not a teeny person.
That's fair.
I'm telling you, like, sailboat lessons, you'll start with, I don't know, maybe 12 feet, like 15 feet, like a little teeny boat. And it's actually a lot of fun. Okay. You'll be like, oh, my God, the wind is pushing me. I feel the roll of the boat. You know, you're crashing through some little waves. It's great. And then once you actually get a real boat, you kind of understand, like, the limitations of sailing. I mean, you're not going to get in trouble, per se, but work your way up. Don't buy a 40-footer.
Okay, well, that's a good piece of advice.
That's what you want.
Yes.
So I'm relatively new to the area. I had a 40-footer on Lake Tahoe.
Oh. So
I sold that, and I moved out here.
Tahoe.
So I don't have a boat, but it was a progression.
Okay.
So the first sailboat I got was a 28-foot McGregor. It was like a piece of junk. You could sleep in it. It was almost like a pop-top van. Like, it was small.
Yeah, I love
you
pop-tops.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was fun. It was cool. Did some work on it. Sold it for a couple grand more than I bought it.
Smart investor.
Bought a bigger one.
Okay.
Yeah, bought a bigger one. Same thing. Kind of fixed it up a little bit. Got to the 40-footer, and life is life, and I moved out here and got rid of it. But either way, work your way up.
Okay.
You'll love it.
All right.
There's nothing that you can't replicate.
That's what I'm talking about.
Harnessing wind energy to go somewhere, and it's just quiet.
Okay.
You hear the waves lapping. I mean, it's great. Do it.
I'm going
to
do it.
All right. Waver. All right, John. I've got a few follow-ups, I'm known to have. One. Since
I love you guys. First of all, you guys are amazing.
Oh, thanks.
I love you guys.
Love it. All right. Well, I'm glad you've moved here just so we have one more fan who thinks we're any good.
We're big in Tahoe.
So, you were in Lake Tahoe. Did you ever take your 40-footer up to the American Century Championship and dock in there while they were playing golf?
Absolutely. Edgewood is beautiful. It's amazing. Honestly,
looks awesome.
The fireworks show right down the way at South Shore, when you're on a boat underneath the fireworks, there's no other way you can watch it. I mean, Tausch, if you sailed to Chicago and anchored up and watched the Chicago fireworks, I mean, it'll blow your socks off.
All right. And then my only other follow-up is, you said, you know, you can't get into too much trouble. What is, as a sailor, and I think I feel very confident that you know what you're talking about. You've been a little.
He's passed the audio test. Yes.
For sure. And he's got kind of that sailor dude kind of tone to him, right?
For sure. He's got the yacht rock vibe.
The Californians.
The Tahoans.
So what's the most trouble you got in on? What's your one story of maybe being a little. Because Tausch is going to. He's made it very clear, if he ever extends this to a 40-footer or whatever, he wants to make sure he has an engine, right?
For sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. You always have an engine. I mean, because you're not, like, sailing into a dock. I mean, you're tying up to a buoy, or you're tying up to a dock under engine power. So
okay.
That's so, one thing.
So what's the most perilous situation you found yourself in during your sailing career?
Great question.
All right. So, again, qualifier, Lake Tahoe is a large lake, but you're not getting, like, Lake Michigan weather and swells and stuff. So there was one storm on Lake Tahoe where it was too crazy to actually get to the buoy where I kept my boat. Like, me and my wife, you know, she's grabbing the buoy with the hook while I'm driving the boat, and then you clip off to just be attached, and then you actually tie off the way you're going to tie. So it did get wild enough one time that we couldn't get attached to the buoy. So we were just driving around, and I was getting real low on gas, just trying to, like, wait out this craziness to where we could tie up to the buoy. So that's, like, the worst thing. If you ever got to a point where you lose power, like, if I'd run out of gas, and then the wind and waves just push your boat wherever. Tahoe. So thank God we actually radioed a couple areas, and there was a marina with a breaker wall that we made it to before we ran out of gas.
So did you go? We just, my only question is, did you say Mayday? Mayday, Mayday!
No, okay. Because we weren't, like, taking on water. We're not going to sink.
Okay.
If I'd have lost hour, then yes, I would have said, hey, we're out in the shit. Oh, my God.
Uh-oh. Well, that's all for John. We appreciate John.
We do.
That's a hook.
Yeah, but I think he's letting me know that this is not easy.
That was going to be my takeaway.
Yeah, it sounds very difficult.
I don't see this happening for you, buddy.
Why?
It sounds like it's a process.
Yeah.
And you on your, what did he call it? Your teeny boat?
Yep.
I don't see that as viable for you.
I don't either. Right. I think I'll start on that crappy McGregor boat that he was talking about. That'll go a little bit bigger, but not the 40-footer. I'll meet him in the middle. I'm going to try, but I'm going to go under good supervision, and then we'll kind of see where it goes from there.
All right. We'll get Bill Goggins on the case, and we'll get you out on Lake Michigan safely, or maybe just on Lake Mendota. If you need a little extra money for your boat, though, you can spend a lot of time or just a little time at Fortrea.
That's the beauty of Fortrea. It's not just for big folks. There's a lot of studies for some people with the BMI, but go to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. You're looking for a little extra spending cash. You want to get up, go to the Packers Pro Shop. Are you looking to go to Brazil for a game? Or you just want to get ready for a vacation? Or if you're looking for a sailboat, Fortrea Clinical Trials has you covered. Healthy adults ages 18 to 65, BMI of 18 to 34. Study, one overnight stay, 10 follow-up visits, and 3 phone calls. You can grab yourself $6,805 for your time and participation. Refer a friend, you get another $400 per qualified referral. Another study, 18 to 55, healthy men, BMI 18 to 32. This study, one stay of between 8 to 11 nights with one follow-up call, and you can make between $4,578 and $5,829. Head to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
I have one follow-up on the Jordan Love conversation, then we will play trivia. Those questions, both trivia questions and my question, are next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
All right, enough sailing and profanity.
Two questions. More nervous about sailing than I was before the show.
Yeah, I think it sounds harder than you were expecting.
Yeah, and I think there's issues like life and death that come from that.
Which, perilous. Yeah.
I didn't realize. I was just thinking, oh, maybe nice sun blowing, wind blowing out there, kind of sitting back, Coors Light in my hand. How fun is that?
So you really just want someone else to give you a ride?
I don't want to say that for sure. I don't want to say that
for
sure.
You just want to be a boat rider.
I think I like the idea of having a sailboat.
A sailboat passenger.
You know, unfortunately, I think the problem with this, I'm not sure if Sarah's listening today. I think she's probably like, oh, God, I'm going to have to learn how to sail.
Did you not just get after me for suggesting that?
I said adjacent. I said that.
She does a lot of the work.
Maybe there's a big market among sailors who don't have passengers to drive around. Like, you could fill that need.
I'm fairly confident.
But I understand where you're coming from on that. But I want something to kind of be old tease.
All the enjoyment with none of the work.
No, we'll see. Well, you know what, guys? Fingers crossed. We'll take a look and we'll see how it shakes out.
All right. So you were talking about leverage earlier. Is Jordan Love's leverage that without him, you're starting Sean Clifford?
Yeah.
Is that leverage?
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that, again, I don't think it's going to come to this, but there is part of me that thought, and there was some, Josh DiMaggio was the one who turned me on to this Twitter account. There's some random Twitter account that I think people believe it is like an agent or someone who works in an agent's office who has been getting all these contract things right before Adam Schefter, before Ian Rappaport.
Oh, interesting. What's the site? I might tune into this one.
I'll have to go and look. I follow this person, so I need to double check it.
I forgot the name, but I've heard of it too. Yeah,
right?
It's been a thing.
So this person, after the Trevor Lawrence deal got done, which was what, 3 weeks ago now?
Oh, it feels like
or more
than that, yeah.
That feels a long time ago. Pretty Ricky is what he goes by.
Ricky Stenicki.
Nice.
Great movie.
I've not seen it.
You'd like
it.
Is
it appropriate for the kids?
Yes.
Okay.
Not like, well, not super appropriate.
I don't know if your opinion.
No, it shouldn't.
Yeah, it's fine.
I'd say it's appropriate fine. Adjacent.
Okay. And Sarah took them. So Pretty Ricky reported, I guess, air quotes, that in the wake of the Trevor Lawrence deal, that the Packers were now rushing toward getting a deal done with Jordan Love. Now, maybe it was just as simple as Goody went on vacation, Jordan Love went on vacation and got engaged, that just logistically they were like, hey, we'll just get this done the week before camp, perhaps. But nothing is done. The Tua contract talks, contentious-ish, it would appear, right?
Okay.
And Dak Prescott, nothing's happened there other than his wearing a boot for no apparent reason.
Das Boot. Das Sailboot.
Yeah, Sailboot. So it leads me to wonder if perhaps there's at least a difference of opinion here in terms of structure, in terms of dollars, whatever else. But you made the point about, and we'll get to these NFL executives who do not have Jordan Love in the top 10 of quarterbacks in the NFL, according to Jeremy Fowler's story at ESPN Plus when we kick off the 11 o'clock hour. But he does have leverage. It's not like I understand he doesn't have the resume that other quarterbacks do. He didn't play as much as Justin Herbert from his draft class. He didn't have as much success as Jalen Hurts had in Philly. But he does have some leverage. It's not like he is leverageless if he were to decide, hey, I'm just not setting foot on Ray Nitschke Field until this deal is done. Don't you agree?
I mean, the only leverage he has is his playing, you know, his status. He does, from a contract standpoint, he signed for a year.
Right.
That means he's got to play for it. There's been plenty of times guys in both the NFL and NBA have been signed, and they said, well, James Harden's a great example. Does Jordan Love want to be in that camp? No, he doesn't. Jordan Love loves being the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, wants to continue to do it for a long time. The front office is the same way. That's why I don't think this is going to get contentious at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it will get a little chirpy, but not contentious. And it makes too much sense, but to say, I know we had that whole discussion with the Jets and Rodgers and leverage, and we did, and it was back and forth, and it could have gotten more contentious than it did. It didn't, at least from one side of it. Here, the only way Jordan Love is going to get everything he wants is by threatening to not play. He is not going to do that. The Packers know he's not going to do that, and that's why I feel fairly confident that both sides are going to kind of meet in the middle, and that typically is a sign of a good relationship and a good negotiation. That's what I think will end up happening. But to act as if Jordan couldn't say, I'm not going to step foot on Nitschke. I'm trying to come up with something that rhymes with Nitschke that's big cash. Anybody got anything? I'm not going to step on Nitschke if I don't get the...
Pachetsky.
I thought you were going to say something like Old Sailing John. That's it. That's how this is going to work. And I just don't think he's there to do that. I just don't.
Okay. You're probably right. I continue to believe that when players are in this position, as hard as it may be for them to do it, sometimes they have to do the I got to look out for me thing. And
as a leader and as someone that is, that's the tricky part for him. And, you know, the other thing, and this, you started to see more of this, is, and TJ Watt was one guy that did this, and some other players have, I'm not going to give any money back, but I'm going to come in and, hey, coach, man, my elbow's a little ginger.
Right.
Or, oh, my hammy's right. A little snug.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And all of a sudden, that right cream comes, and that cream comes in the color of green.
That's green cream.
The green elbow. Cream. Oh, yeah, that green cream fixed my elbow. Oh, that green cream fixed my hammy.
Oh, my arm. We will see what happens. Packers kickoff training camp a week from today. The quarterbacks report to training camp along with the rookies on Wednesday. So circle that day on your calendar.
Is that open to the media? Do you get to go?
There is no, there's no practices per se. I think they've got walkthroughs and stuff, but we don't get to see nothing until next Monday.
Okay.
So a week from today, we'll be out at Ray Nitschke Field. But for now, they do report. So if Jordan Love signs a contract on Wednesday, the first day that he's back in town, theoretically, that would make a lot of sense. So that's when the clock really starts to tick to me, is once he's in town, if they're really close, then we should be moments away from a deal getting done. And for those of us that have fatigue, that would be great. We need to play trivia. Jesse, the sports weekend recap has to be the category,
right? I thought it
right?
was sailing. Different sailing terms.
I did not know that we were going to be talking sailing nearly as extensively as we have this morning, so it is not about sailing, nor was there any sailing that took place in the sports weekend recap as far as I know. The sports weekend recap is the category today.
When is America's Cup? Remember that? That was such a big deal
back then.
That was big
on ESPN. Yeah, that was one of their signature events. Dennis Connor. Coming
Denny,
back, making
like
a big comeback against New Zealand was kind of the king, right? New Zealand was the great sailing. A lot of former athletes got into sailing because of their strong upper bodies and being able to crank on that whole deal.
The defending champions are the Royal New Zealand Yacht Squadron. I like the word squadron. I think we should, instead of our crew or our group, I think we should be the Wilde and Tausch Squadron. The
squadron by squadron preview of the 2024 Green
Bay
Packers.
I like that, yeah. The 37th Louis Vuitton America's Cup is taking place between August 22nd.
And no offense to what's John Kerry's buddy's name?
Bill Goggins.
Goggins and sailing, probably too bougie for me too. Like I'm just not a bougie.
I was starting to think that.
Like when you just said Louis Vuitton Cup, I'm kind of like,
that's not me. That's not on Old T's
brand.
That's
not Old T.
The competition is being held in Barcelona.
I like Barcelona. Great market.
Big Barcelona guy.
Yeah, I like Barcelona a ton. So I'm kind of torn. Maybe we can make more of a blue collar. Grind it out.
Yeah, there you go.
Instead of the bouge.
Yep. You can sail on Lake Monona. All right, we need to play trivia. Caller 10 right now for Jordan Love, 844-770-3776.
Is there a sport more bougie than sailing?
Polo?
Ooh, yeah. Polo is super bouge.
You just like saying bougie.
Croquet is bouge.
It's a lot like golf, I think.
A lot of people would say golf and tennis, bouge.
Oh, yeah, tennis, yeah.
But sailing
Bocce?
And sailing and polo are way ahead of both golf and tennis.
Yeah.
I don't think anything's beaten polo. Dressage, when you're like jumping horse, the horse racing whole gambit. But there's people down there, the trainers. I look at trainers of horses as being grinders.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, polo.
Probably the people that are working on the boats, too,
I don't
and taking
think
care
I'm
of the
finding,
horses at the polo grounds.
Is it polo or sailing that probably is going to be the bouge? F1 racing, very bouge. Jesse, is there anything that's more bouge?
I'm standing by my polo pick, personally.
Polo's number one.
Yeah, I don't know if it's... I kind of agree. I don't want to, but I do.
Caller 10 for trivia. Tomorrow's trivia, most bougie sports. We'll have questions about polo, sailing, and dressage.
Boy, would that be something.
Jesse, get on it. Caller 10, 844-770-3776. We will play next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Watch every ESPN Madison show live every day. Subscribe to ESPN Madison on YouTube for live video of every show and exclusive content. Just search ESPN Madison.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world because it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes because your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time before we learn how to fly.
Trivia. Let's welcome in our contestants. It is a first time contestant. It's a little hard to follow. Big Pete in G-Town. Tausch, what do you think G-Town is?
Germantown?
Yep. That's what I was going to guess.
Yep.
Let's see if we're right. Pete, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jason, I'm great, and you are correct, Tausch. It's G-Town.
G-Town. Wonder if G-Town's one of the teams that we're going to try to coordinate getting to Sun Prairie this Thursday.
Coax up here, if you will. All right, Pete, the weekend recap is the category, and Tausch has question number one.
I do? Oh, okay. Which
Surprise.
Country became the first to win four Euro Cups after claiming the title Sunday? Is it Spain, Belgium, or Liechtenstein?
I think it's Espanol.
España.
Spain.
Great. What a day for Spain yesterday. Old boy wins Wimbledon.
Carlos Alcaraz.
I kept calling him Alcatraz for some reason.
I can see that.
Just
yep.
a couple of letters tough. Off, yeah.
But just completely dismantled the Joker.
Yeah, it was not
hey,
good.
There's a
guy.
New sheriff in town.
Yeah. He's good.
Joker.
And he runs Alcaraz.
Joker ain't
There's
gonna
no
be
escaping
away from,
him.
Joker's gonna be locked on his major titles because the old Alcatraz, he's got this thing locked.
You start
up.
Calling him The Rock?
He should.
Welcome to The Rock. Wait a minute. What's the
By
Euro
the way,
Cup?
Did you hear Riley's impersonations?
Oh, I heard.
Oh my God. My bad, Big Pete.
Okay, Euro Mark. Cup. Euro Cup is soccer?
Yes. The UEFA. Isn't it called UEFA?
Yes.
So that was going on at the same time as Copa America?
Yep.
Boy, wouldn't it be fun to see an Argentina-España game next week?
Yeah.
At
not
Sun
a bad
Prairie.
Idea.
We'll play them in Sun Prairie. Jesse O'Ref.
Question two, Pete. Is this...
Tickets are first come, first serve.
Well, there are no tickets. We don't want to go through what happened in Miami last night.
During their weekend series, which of these divisional MLB opponents experienced a bench-clearing brawl on Friday, plus two ninth-inning lead changes and a walk-off hit on Sunday?
Wow.
That's a lot.
Big series.
Convoluted question. Was it Cubs and Cardinals? Yankees and Orioles, or Rangers and Astros?
Yankees, Orioles.
Somebody watched Sports Center. Nicely done. No idea. Didn't know. Tausch, you got question three.
I do. Which ACC school saw three players drafted in the top 10 of Sunday's first round of the 2024 Major League Baseball draft? What a dumb time to have Major League Baseball draft, too. Let's just throw it on a random Saturday. Well done, fellas. Florida State, Wake Forest, or North Carolina?
It was Sunday.
Whatever.
That's a tough one for me. I think it's Florida State.
The perfect Duncan. Week is over.
Timmy Duncan make any sense to you? Timmy Duncan?
Tim Duncan played baseball?
He could have.
Chris Paul?
Childress? Big strike zone, though.
Childress.
Brad Childress?
Yep.
What does Brad Childress have to do with Wake Forest?
Wake Forest is the correct answer. Wake Forest.
What does Brad Childress have to do with Wake Forest?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him.
And it's not a random Sunday. It's the Sunday going into the All-Star break.
Okay. Why on earth would
home
you
run
not
derby
do this?
Tonight.
Yeah, home run derby. Prize picks, Alonzo, 0.5. He's going to hit one. I mean, he's going to hit one.
No guarantee, but
I'm not guaranteeing anything.
There's a chance he does not hit one, just for the record.
For sure there is. There's also a chance old boy didn't get to, in one of the most rarest of all rare prize picks operations I put together, hot dog eating and two WNBAs. Pretty good little poo-poo.
It's quite a combo. And you won on that?
I did.
Pete's, big effort today. Not quite as big a results as you'd like. 2 out of 3. That gives you 3 of the possible 4 entries into Friday's drawing. Thanks for playing, buddy. We appreciate you.
I love you guys.
Nice.
I love you guys.
Perfect week.
Give him an extra entry.
Yeah. Let's get him one, Jesse. Let's start busting these rules.
Nope. You got to follow the official contest rules, which you can find, Tausch, at ESPNWisconsinContest.com.
Yeah, we actually had a bonus love you guys from John the Sailboat guy right before he uttered profanity.
Said something else, too.
All right, we need to get to the 11 o'clock hour. We need to get to this Jeremy Fowler story, because these stories come from conversations with executives throughout the league. And Tausch, did you read this?
No, I didn't.
You just heard about it.
Heard about it. Saw it on Tannenbaum's show.
Tannenbaum's show.
Tannenbaum.
Does he call the show O Tannenbaum?
Tannenbaum needs his own show.
Oh, Tannenbaum.
He's done the work. He's put his time in. It's time for the Tannenbaum.
Wir sind in deine Blätten. We will kick off the 11 o'clock hour.
Is that Liechtensteinian?
No, it's German. I thought you knew German.
The 11 o'clock hour. Briefmarken.
Die Frankfurter Hot Dogs, sehr gut. We will do.
Wo ist das Bahnhof? Wie alt bist du? Ali, wie langweilig. Ja.
The 11 o'clock hour begins next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.